Welcome, friends, to Inspirational Truths, a time for exploring truths from God's timeless book. My name is Todd Price. I believe that song and the message for today will be a blessing to each of you. So with that in mind, it is my privilege to introduce to you the founder of Inspirational Truths, my father, Tom Price.
Well, greetings, friends. My name is Tom Price, and I'm happy to say, as always, it's Inspirational Truth time once again, and greet you in the blessed name of Christ, my Savior. Now, if he isn't yours, friend, he can be. If he isn't yours, he wants to be. If he isn't yours, he came to be. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Luke 19 and 10 tells us very clearly and emphatically. Well, may I say, happy Easter to you. What a glorious day that it is to be able to celebrate the fact that our Lord, who was dead, is alive, and he's alive forevermore. And if you're in Christ, if you know him with free pardon and forgiveness of sin, the Bible tells us clearly, friend, that because I live, Jesus said, ye shall live also. How wonderful that is. This day that we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, I don't know, to me it's the capstone of all that Jesus said, all that he claimed, and all that he did. Now, I know the virgin birth. I know that it was an important day. We celebrate Christmas. I love that holiday. I certainly do. But can I tell you, if he didn't come and leave an empty tomb, it wouldn't matter much about him borrowing some lady's womb. So this is God's receipt. We could call it that. This is God's receipt for all that Jesus said, for all that Jesus was, and for all that Jesus promised. Well, excited about the message that God has laid on my heart. Hey, it's bigger than me, just like all of them are, but I trust it'll be a blessing to you. Debbie's going to do a song. The title of it is The Mystery of the Cross, as you may imagine. It goes very definitely with the message God has laid on my heart out of Luke chapter 23.
He stood there before Pilate, this king of the Jews. People crying out, crucify. They brought Jesus to Pilate. He said, I find no fault in him, but I'll deliver one to you. But one will have to die. Why would a king give up his kingdom? Why would a king lay down his crown to become the greatest story? Then released Barabbas, and he delivered up Jesus into the hands of sinful men. Then they nailed his hands and feet to the rugged cross. I can't help but wonder why this king had to die. Why would a king give up his kingdom? Why would a king lay down his crown to become the greatest story for me? It's all such a great this king would lay down his life to bleed and die for me. I will never understand it, though this king has set me free. It's all such a great
How beautiful. I don't know about you, I love that song. Well done, Debbie. Well done, and appreciate that from the depths of my heart. Friend, I believe with all of my heart that Calvary was shrouded in mystery in many, many ways. And that's what we're going to look at today in some degree, in some small degree, because this country preacher is such a small preacher, friend. We're going to look at something that I think is absolute tremendous, that deals with the cross of Jesus Christ, this place called Calvary, this place of the skull, Golgotha. The Word of God refers to it. And on this Sunday, is there not much to preach about? Is there not much to consider? Is there not much to say? In fact, do you know that according to what I've been taught by scholars, that the four gospel accounts of the life, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, it occupies a special place in the Word of God. But those four accounts of the gospel of Jesus Christ deal with something that's amazing. For instance, the book of Matthew and the book of Mark, a total of one third of their writings deal with the last week, the last few days of the life of Jesus Christ on planet Earth. But it gets better. The book of Luke gives one-fourth of his writing to the last week, the last days of the life of Jesus Christ on planet Earth. But John, who presents Jesus as God incarnate, as the Son of Man, who is the Son of God, he gives a full half of his gospel to that account. But look, in the book of Luke, chapter 23, verses 44 and 45, the Word of God says, "And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst." I'm going to talk to you today for a little while about this thought, in the darkness. In the darkness. It intrigues me. I don't know about you, but that flat out intrigues me. The darkness. You say, why? Well, maybe there's many reasons about it for me personally, about the darkness and how it used to affect me as a child and now how as an adult. It sort of amazes me to some degree. But I want you to know something, friend. The darkness here, I believe it's shrouded in mystery. And yet I believe there are some indications that nothing but divine work, nothing but divine, profound, divine work went on in the darkness. As you all know, if you're any kind of Bible reader at all, the events that precede this, Jesus, friend, was headed to this hour. For this cause and for this hour, Jesus said, "Came I into this world," he testified to Pilate. Hey, no one that was involved in this great drama, if I can call it a drama, and it was. No one, friend, listen, could have been free of what they were charged by Almighty God to some degree to do. Now look, although they had a work, although they made a decision, and although, friend, listen, it was predetermined, I mean to tell you, by the determinate counsel of an Almighty God coming out of eternity, that Jesus would die on this day. If you remember, I preached the only day that Jesus could die was on the Passover, because He was the Lamb of God. He was the Paschal Lamb. Look, all of these players of this, they were guilty. They had choices to make. And though, friend, they made them, that does not mean that they could not have been redeemed. They certainly could, because Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son, came to die for the lost of this world. Every man, woman, boy, and girl that has lived, is living, or shall live He died, shed, not spilled, sir, ma'am. Don't you preach. Don't you sing. Don't you ever use the word spilled when it comes to the blood of Christ. It wasn't an accident. It was shed because of a divine plan. But at this time that we enter into the events of Calvary, Jesus had already prayed in the garden. Had already been sold out by Judas Iscariot. Had already been forsaken by his apostles. Had already been to trial, mock trials, illegal trials. Had already stood before Caiaphas and Ananias. Had already been before Pilate and Herod. Had already been to the pavement where the soldiers played their games with him. Had already been smitten, scourged. Had already been spat upon. He already had a crown of thorns placed upon his head. He had been mocked. He had been bruised and ridiculed. The beard had been plucked or actually ripped out of his face. He had been there. He had heard all the accusations. He stood silent as they spoke against him. He heard the false witnesses make accusations against him. How by this time he had heard those around the cross deride him, rail on him, mock him, and say, hey, if you really be the Son of God, come down and we'll serve. Somebody came by and said something that was truth. He saved others. He cannot save himself. Oh, what a message that is right there. But Jesus, friend, Jesus is according to the Word of God from the book of Genesis to the book of Malachi. Listen, friend, as that Lamb of God that came to take away the sin of the world, as that sinner's substitute, He, looking down from the cross, heard what was said by the mocking, jeering crowd, even by those two that were crucified with Him, one to the left and one to the right, and yet He endured. But look, after the first 3 hours, after man did his worst, God stepped in, and for some reason or another, only known by Almighty God, He pulled the shade of darkness, if you'll let me say it that way, when I was sitting here in my study this morning. My window looks directly towards the east, and the earth has come to the place to where that when the sun comes up over the eastern mountains that's before me, it just splits right down the middle of my window, and I got up and pulled the shade down. I thought, wow, how profound that is. And I've done that hundreds of times since Debbie and I have lived here. God did that. God pulled down the shade. God listened. God and God entered into that darkness. God the Father, God the Son entered into that place of holiness. And oh, listen, something profound, something divine, something that only God and God could do, friend, entered into that time and into that place. He was securing His holiness in that time. He was securing His righteousness as He was providing satisfaction for all that He was so that He could provide a ways and means for sinner like me and you to come to know Him. 6 hours Jesus hung there, 3 in the light, 3 in the darkness. And listen, friend, listen. I want you to know that God the Father and God the Son, in some way that goes way beyond this country, preacher, way beyond our understanding and way beyond God, allowing us totally into that darkness, they did eternal business. Now listen to me. I say this humbly. I say this as humbly as I can say anything. I do not propose to know all things that went on. But I believe, friend, that we can, like Brother Corey Emsweiler down at our church says, we can put on our spiritual goggles. We can look and we can see. I believe something profound happened there. Something, listen, friend, that I'm going to say. I'm going to mention 3 things at least that I believe are totally plausible. So if you disagree, you give me some liberty to at least think. You give me the liberty to at least consider, friend, as I begin to think about what God the Father and God the Son did on my behalf, on your behalf, on the behalf of all mankind who are in need of a sinner, who have been placed under the condemnation of a holy God, who are, friend, listen, who are depraved. You say, what's that mean, preacher? That offends me. Well, get over it, friend. Listen, it means that we're as bad off as we can be. We're all in need of a Savior. But in that day, darkness encased the world. Not just in Israel, I believe the whole world. I believe the whole world experienced the darkness. It was as if the sun hid and bowed his head in shame for our sins because of the Son of God was where he was at, doing what he was doing, enduring what he was enduring. Now it seems to me here that we find in these last 3 hours of the darkness Jesus experienced on the cross of Calvary, we have the climax of His suffering. Hey, listen, friend, who can understand this but God? Who in the world can enter into that darkness but God the Father and God the Son? And yet, let's consider at least three things. I believe it was during this time. I believe it was during this moment in time, these 3 hours, that the cross of Jesus Christ, the cross that He bore unto Calvary, the cross that held His body, the cross to which His hands and His feet had been affixed by nails but held by love. I believe the cross became an altar. I believe it was there that the Lamb of God became that burnt sacrifice, that Lamb that gave Himself completely, totally to Almighty God. There, Jesus, listen, the Word of God said, a body Thou hast prepared me. Burnt offerings and sacrifices Thou wouldest not, but a body Thou hast prepared me. When Isaac was going to the mountain with his father at Moriah, and this is the place that Jesus died, was Mount Moriah, by the way, the very place David brought of the threshing floor of Ornan, and the place that his son by the name of Solomon built the temple. It's the same place. He cried, Father, here's the fire and the wood, but where is the sacrifice? And notice how it's spoken in the King James, unlike any other version. He said God will provide Himself a sacrifice, not for Himself, but Himself. But I believe it was there, the altar of the cross that Jesus bore became the altar upon which, number two, the Son of God offered Himself as the Lamb of God. He was amazing, was He not? He was not only the propitiation, He was the propitiator. And I don't have time to explain that. But it's there that the Son of God became the Lamb of God, perfect, sinless, without blemish. And He did it, friend, for the sins of all the world. It was there that Lamb, from the very beginning in the garden after Adam and Eve had sinned, I believe with all of my heart, God slew a lamb that day so that He might bring to this fallen man and woman coats of skin. So it was there in the darkness. The cross became an altar, and it was there where the Lamb of God, bless God, where the Son of God became the Lamb of God, perfect in all that He said, all that He did, all that He was. He died there as the Lamb of God that would come to take away the sin of the world. I wish I had time to just run through the many types and pictures of Him being the Lamb of God, the sacrifice that would suffice to pay for my sin, your sin, and the sin of all the world. But not only did He become the Lamb of God, I believe the Son of God became the sinner's substitute. Oh, listen, I believe it was there that according to Isaiah's writing, He made His soul an offering for our sin. I believe it was there that God poured out His wrath upon Jesus Christ. Listen, sir, listen, ma'am, that wrath that should have been mine, that anger that should have been yours, that suffering that should have been ours, God poured it out on His Son, the sinner's substitute. from the beginning in the garden again. God has taught the doctrine and the truth of substitution. Listen, He said the wages of sin is death. And oh, listen, that condemnation, that charge is placed upon all of us. God sent His Son who was sinless to die for the sinful sinner so that you and I might know life through Him and because of Him. But it was there Jesus became our sin. It was there, listen friend, that He drunk the cup. It was there that He turned the dregs of that cup up all the way and He suffered and died. Hey, look sir, look ma'am. Let's be honest, He became what we are. He became what we were before we come to know Christ as sin. The Bible tells us in the book of 2 Corinthians 5:21, He that knew no sin became as sin that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. The Bible tells us in Isaiah 53:6, God laid upon Him my sin and your sin, the sin of all the world. The book of 1 Peter 2:22 or 24, I can't remember which, God laid upon Him our sin. He bore our sin on that tree at Calvary. Listen, He died for you and I. He failed it all. He suffered it all. All of our sin, all of our ugliness, all of that which should have been ours, Jesus suffered for you and I. Oh, look, He was wounded for our transgressions. Can you look at that and see suffering deity? Can you imagine that? He that knew no sin became as sin. Hey, listen, He became a curse because the Bible said, cursed is every man that dieth or hangeth on a tree. He tasted death for every man. That's what the Word of God said. Now listen, a spiritual death came before the physical death. I can't imagine this. When He got to the end of the 3 hours of darkness and all, so much more needs to be said. This needs to be developed in a more clear and precise way. But time being what it is, I must run. When we begin to think about the last 3 hours of that 6 hours that Jesus suspended between the heaven and the earth, experienced and endured, when the Bible said He tasted death for every man, hey, the spiritual death was before the physical, and when we get to the end of it, He cried and He said, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, that is to say, as the prophet said in the book of Psalm, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? It was in that time, listen, that God was separated from God. I'm telling you, He who was eternally one is eternally one in some way only known by God the Father and God the Son. As God became the sinner's substitute, hey, they were separated. I can't understand that, but I know that. Hey, look, friend, why hast Thou forsaken me? Listen. Listen, the wages of sin is death, and the death that He's talking about is the eternal separation from God mentioned in Romans 6:23. And from that moment of time, listen friend, God was forsaken of God. And you say, how could it be? Why didn't He be separated from Him eternally? Well look, let me give you a scenario. If you and I, who are finite, die in our sins, we will pay for our sins for an infinite amount of time and never get them paid for. But what if an infinite God, for a finite amount of time, paid for our sins and was separated from God? Don't you think that would work? I do. Oh, listen, sinner friend, there's so much more to be said. But you need to say something. You need to run to God and say, God, I know I'm a sinner. I know that I'm a sinner and I'm going to die. You put judgment upon me. And God, I know when I die, if I don't get saved, I'll awake in a place called hell. And it seems to me that Jesus suffered my hell at Calvary. Oh, listen, sinner friend, in light of Jesus dying, doing what He did, it makes no sense at all for you to die. Look, there's no reason for you to pay for your sin because He already has. Run to Jesus now. Fall on your face, bow your head, humble your heart, and say, "Oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner." Father, You said that You would save anybody and everybody to call on You. Those that are doing that now, for the glory of God, for the glory of Jesus Christ, in light of what You and Your Son did at Calvary, save that man, that woman, that boy, that girl that's calling on You now. Thank You for who You are, for what You are, for what You've done, and what You're doing. And until the day we can look on You, we praise You and glorify You.
You are my Savior.
Thank you, friend, for listening to Inspirational Truths today. It is our prayer that the message and the song has been a blessing to your soul and has in some way ministered to your heart. We hope that you will make plans to join us every week at this same time. If you have a special request that you would like us to know about, please feel free to write us and we will be sure to pray about your request, whatever it is. If you'd like to contact us, our address is Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. That's Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. Or on the web at TOMANDDEBBIE at InspirationalTruths.com. That's Tom and Debbie at InspirationalTruths.com. Remember, friend, this is a work of faith. We need both your prayers and your listening ears. Now until the next time, it is our prayer that God will richly bless both you and yours.